Okay. Welcome to week three of CSE 76, Building Mobile Applications. And today we'll be going through a lab section on basically how to develop an Android. Now, how many of you have the SDK installed on your laptops already? Just one? Okay, so I guess we'll just go through the process of installing the SDK and getting the ADT installed. One more question, how many of you have Eclipse installed on your laptops? Okay, two, and not the others. Okay, I guess we'll just start off by downloading Eclipse first. So if you would just go to eclipse.org, if that will load up.
That'll be on these systems, yes. Lab systems. Eclipse will be on.
Right, Eclipse is on all the lab systems already. Right, on your personal computers, yes. So we can go over here to downloads. And what you're going to be wanting to install is the Eclipse IDE for Java developers. So if you just download this file, it's kind of big, but yeah. Yeah, that one will work too. The question was, will the Eclipse IDE for Java EE developers work? And yes, that will work too, but for the purposes of this class, I think we should just stick with the Eclipse IDE if you're not familiar with the Eclipse environment. So now that we have the Eclipse IDE installed, what we want to do is go to the Android developer site and download their SDK. So if you go to developer.android.com/SDK, and all of you seem to be using Macs, so download the one for Mac OS X. And for those who are watching the video, if you're using Windows, then download this recommended installer instead. So once you've downloaded the SDK, you should double-click on the zip file to extract it. And depending on where you saved it, find the correct directory, navigate to the Tools folder, and double-click this executable that says Android. And a black box should show up, opening this manager. So now if you will go to the Installed Packages tab, and press Update All. What it should do is come up with a list of things, and a window should pop up asking you whether you want to install those packages. And so what you should press is Accept All and press Install. And the reason it's not showing up on the screen is because it's already installed on this Mac. So what you should do now is open up Eclipse, and then go to the Window menu and open up the Android SDK and AVD Manager. Oh, you guys might not have that. Actually, go to Help and click on Install New Software. And a window should pop up like this, and can everyone see the URL that's typed in up there? So if you will put that URL into that box and press Add, you should and name it anything you want. It should come up with developer tools in the box below. Actually, if you go to the Android site by just going to developer.android.com/sdk/installing.html and go to step 3 and press installing the ADT plugin. You'll find the URL you need over here on the left side. And I can make that bigger so everyone can see. So if you just want to type that in instead, it's that URL. Does everyone have the URL? Okay, great. So if you go back to Eclipse, you can just paste that URL over here, press Add, and it should bring up the package right below that says Developer Tools. And if you just check that box and press Next, and give it a little bit, it should come up with some of these packages that you should install. They're installed already, which is why it's giving a little error at the top, but you should be able to install them on the systems in front of you. Well, so now that everyone's installed both the ADT and the Android SDK, what we should do is create an instance of the emulator so we can run our programs in the Android emulator. Oh, okay, so it's different for a Mac. So if you're on a Mac, go to Eclipse Preferences, open up the Android menu, and you should see the SDK location if you browse, and go to the location where you installed the SDK. So it should be on the desktop where you downloaded it to. Yeah, if you just choose that directory itself, the unzipped directory, and press OK, so the Android SDK Mac x86, if you just choose that and press open it, that root directory should get you the SDK. Right. So if you press apply and OK, it should bring up everything. As long as you have like Android 2.something on there, you'll be fine. So now that that's done, if you go to the window menu, and now if you press Android SDK and AVD Manager, it should bring up this window, and you should create a new virtual device by pressing new over here. You can give it a name. I'm just going to call this Android 2.3 since I'm using the 2.3 version of the emulator. And just choose the 2.3.3 or the latest one, whichever you have. So the question was, what is the Honeycomb option? It's just a different API, and I think that API is in alpha right now, so we'll just stick with the versions that are numbered.
So which version have you
chosen? The latest one you have on there should be fine. So in this case, I'm using 2.3.3. For the SD card, just put in something like 1024 should be okay. And once that's done, just press Create AVD. Now if you would, just click on the device and press Start. And so in order to make sure that the Android emulator doesn't appear too large on your screen, we just press Scale Display to Real Size. And I usually put in like a number like 7 over here. And for the monitor density, if you press the question mark, it'll ask you for the screen size you're on, which is like how many inches the diagonal is. I'm not sure how big those are. Those are probably something like 20 or 21 inches. And it will say resolution, and I think there's only one option for you. So if you just press OK, that should have the right things pop up. And if you click Launch... No, don't worry about that. It should bring up the emulator in the small screen. So note that the emulator takes a really, really long time to boot up. So if you want to run your programs that you'll be developing, what you might want to do is run the emulator first and then go develop. As you can see here, it's just blinking. It usually takes like 2 or 3 minutes, up to 5 minutes, depending on how fast your computer is, to load up. And it's just something that's kind of annoying, but we have to deal with it. So just keep that running. And now, make sure you don't close it, by the way, because if you close it, it's going to have to boot up again when you want to run it again. And that's just really annoying. So, yay, we're done installing all of the necessary software, so now we can start developing an Android project. So, how we develop an Android project is we create a new project, and if you press New, which is this button up here, if you can see where my mouse is, in the top left corner, you'll see this folder called Android. Open it up and choose Android Project and press Next. So, since we're just starting on Android, what we'll be making is our first Hello World program from scratch. So if you want to just call this project Hello World, that will be okay. And for the build target, since we had the emulator running on 2.3.3, choose the 2.3.3 version. Anything below that will be compatible with your emulator, but since we're just developing for the sake of like convenience, just choose 2.3.3. The application name is what's going to show up on the Android in the little bar at the top. So in this scenario, let's just call it Hello World as well. Can you ask that again?
Do you have spaces in that?
Yes, you can have spaces in the application name if you want. Now, the package name, on the other hand, is what the package will be called on the left. And we usually have a naming convention for these. And how it goes is the first thing we write down is the top-level domain. So in this scenario, I'm just using .com because most websites are .com. And then what we write down next is the domain. And I don't really have a domain I'm developing on right now, so I'm just going to say my name. And we're working on section 3. So just something along those lines. So you see this field over here that's called create activity. And what activities are, if you went to another section before, it's basically a screen that's displayed when your application runs. So create activity basically just creates a default activity for you in your package, so you don't have to deal with like messiness on the left. So since we're running Hello World as our application, let's just call the activity Hello World. I think the question was, will there be any problems if the project name is named the same thing as the activity? And no, there's no really interaction between those two, so it won't cause any conflicts. And once you're done with that, if you click Finish.
What's the MIDI SDK?
Don't worry about that. If you leave that blank, it just defaults to, I think, the most current version of the MIDI SDK. So the question was, what is the MIDI SDK version field? And you don't really have to worry about that for now. It's just the version of the MIDI SDK, which we don't have to deal with. And if you leave it blank, it automatically puts in the latest version for you. So that's fine. OK, so now we've created our very first package. And if you expand the menu, you see that we have a whole lot of folders over here. And if you went to the section before, if you went to section yesterday, I think they explained that sources were sort of the main part of your program is run. So in this scenario, sort of like if you think about a normal Java program, it's like where the main method would be stored. And so it's basically just the main body of your project. And resources we'll go over. It's just some resources that file will use when it's running. So now let's start coding. So if you will open up helloworld.java, what we're going to do is implement a program that basically just opens up a window that says hello world. Okay, so what Eclipse has done for us here, it's basically created this basic framework for our helloworld.java file. And as we said before, hello world was an activity. So what it has to do is extend the activities class. And over here, you see below what we're calling is add override, and that basically means override the parent method that is in the superclass. And what activity has is it has this onCreate method that's inside, and by overriding it, what we're saying is now we're going to declare an onCreate method for this specific class over here. So the onCreate method is run whenever this activity is created. And so what we're saying over here is it takes in this bundle that is the saved instance state, which means if the program has been run before, it saves information about the program. And when the program boots back up, it's going to run any information that is in the saved instance state and restore it to that previous state. But since we've never run this program before, nothing's going to show up. Now what we're going to do is just implement a page with a text view on it that has hello world. So now we basically have this function that runs when the activity is created. And so what we want to do is we want to add a text view to the page. And what a text view is, it's basically sort of this text box where you can put text in where it will appear on the said activity. So in order to do that, we initialize a text view object, and we call the constructor. So text view we can call that TV is equal to new text view this. It's not capitalizing that correctly for me. So the constructor for the text view takes in this, which is the context, which is what we call a context object. And the context is basically the environment in which this onCreate method is being run. Most constructors for objects in Android will take in the context in which they're being run. So for now, it's just consuming the context as we see. The question was, what does this refer to? And it refers to the context in which we are creating this text view. So that context would be basically the environment or the application, in a sense, the application in which we are calling this onCreate method. And now you notice on the left side, Android is giving us this error. And what it's telling us is text view cannot be resolved to a type, which basically means this text view object does not exist. And if you click on it, it gives you a suggestion on how to fix this problem. And what it turns out is that we never imported the text view class. So it really has no reference to what a text view is. So in order to fix that, you can just click on import text view. And Eclipse will automatically put that in to the top for you. And it imports the text view class as necessary. Right. So Eclipse is really helpful. It auto-completes things for you too, I believe. And yeah, it fixes your problems for you sometimes. So now what we want to do is we've created this text view, and we want to change the text that is located in this text view. So we call the text view method that says, it froze. Okay, so we call tv.setText, and setText is a method of text view objects. And what this basically does is it takes in a string and it changes the text that is located in that text view object. And if this computer will stop freezing, we can see that. It's setText. Yes, it got through. So set text, and let's set the text as we desired, which is hello world. So now we've basically created this text view object, but we haven't really rendered it on the activity. So what we do to render it on the activity is we call the set content view method, and this takes in that text view that we created, and so that will render it in the activity. Okay, so the question was, if you open up a package by default, what it loads in besides that super.onCreate line is it also loads in a line that says r.main.layout? Yeah. Right, so what that basically is it's loading an XML sort of like style sheet, and we'll be going over that later on. But for now, what we're just doing is more of like a programmatic way of inserting UI elements into the activity. And if you use the other thing, which was the r.layout.main, that allows you to specify your layout in a separate XML file and use that to display things on the activity. But for now, let's just stick with this programmatic method. What we can do to run this in the Android emulator is we can go to the Run menu and press Run. And click on Android application and press OK. And it will ask you if you want to save your changes, press yes. It basically has to save the file before it can run it. So now if you will tab into your emulator, you should see that Hello World has been loaded in. If you recall from before, we had brought up the emulator and we had started the emulator. And basically, when you run your .java file in the Eclipse environment, it loads it into the Android emulator. So you can see the application that you've built. And yay, hello world, yay. OK, so hello world, yay, it's beautiful, isn't it? Yay, OK. But no, not really. programmatic UIs are bad. So what's wrong with a programmatic UI? So might anyone take a guess? So a programmatic UI is basically when you sort of style your elements and you insert your elements in the functional part of your page. Yes?
So your content and presentation and your logic.
Right. So the answer was basically you don't have any separation between sort of the style of your page and the logic of your page. And in computer science, we have this paradigm which is called the model view controller. And basically what we want to do is we want to separate all the different parts of our program into something that specifies the... So if you think about model view controller, the view stands for the sort of the part of the program that styles the page, which determines how it's laid out and how it looks. So if you think about HTML and CSS, that would sort of be the CSS part of it. And so the model part, so let's talk about the controller. And the controller part is what waits for user input. And once it's received user input, it sends that over to the controller, which determines what is done with that user input. So recently, we've been working a lot with HTML and JavaScript. And you notice how we like to put all our JavaScript into the head of the page, and more keep all the body of the HTML in the bottom. So we keep the separation between the JavaScript and the main part of the HTML. And this is because we want to keep the styling of the page separate from the logic, which is what makes the page interactive. And this is for reasons of code readability and things like that. Because if someone's reading through your code, it's much easier to tell what's happening if they're seeing the logic in one section, just the pure logic and what's making the page interactive without all the interruptions that are brought in by like style tags and things like that. Okay. So how do we fix that? So now we're going to write a program that's called Hello CSE 76, which is sort of like a Hello World +++. And we've discussed that programmatic UIs are messy because they sort of lump all the style and all the functional parts of the program into the same location. And there's no separation between the function and the form of the program. So how we fix this is by using an XML-based layout for our Android application. So if you recall from before, Eclipse automatically put in this line that said set content view r.layout.main. And basically, what that does is it sets the layout of the activity to the layout that is specified in the main.xml page, which is located, if you look in your resources folder under layout, you'll see this main.xml page. Now, if you double-click on that, it will bring up a page. And if you want to look at the actual XML code, click on this tab that's right down here in the bottom, and it will open main.xml. Now, since we kind of want to start this from scratch, Eclipse has already put in some of these things for us. Let's just delete those and leave only the top tag in there. The question was, when you first double-click, it opens up this sort of panel page, and that's not what we want to look at. We actually want to look at the XML code. So how we do that is we click on this main.xml tag that is down at the bottom. And that should bring up the XML code. And so just delete everything except that very top line. And we'll build a layout from scratch. So what an XML document basically is in this context is it's a document that helps us create sort of a tree of elements, that a tree of XML elements, such as you saw before, like text views and things like that, which will appear on our activity. And we can nest elements in each other to produce different effects. And you'll see as we create our first Hello World program how this sort of layout works. Now, if we want to insert a text view, what we do is we just open a tag and we type in text view. And now for this text view tag, we need to specify some attributes. And so the first attribute that you should always include in any XML file is the XML NS Android attribute. And basically, what this attribute does is it lets us use any other attributes that are in the Android namespace. And to include that Android namespace, we put this link in at the top that links to, just type it as I go along. So what this attribute lets us do is use the Android namespace, which lets us get access to Android attributes, which will let us determine how the text view is rendered in the activity. And so an example of an Android attribute would be something like Android layout underscore width. So this layout underscore width basically lets us specify how large our text view should be. And in this scenario, if we just want it to fill the parent element, so if we just want it to fill up the space of the entire Android emulator, we just set it to fill parent, and it should fill up the width. But otherwise, if you want to specify something like a pixel value, you can do that as well. Similarly, we have this other attribute called Android layout height, which specifies how much of the height of the Android application this text view should take up. Similarly, we can just put fill parent because we don't really have anything else on this activity besides hello world. And finally, if we want to change the text, what we can do is use the Android text attribute. And now I'm going to type in this mysterious string over here, the @string/hello. So similar to how we like to separate the layout of the page from sort of the logic of the page when we were using this XML-based layout, what we also like to do is separate the strings that we're using in our application into a separate XML file, which we can reference in this XML file. So if you go to resources and you go to values, you note that we have this strings.xml page over here. And basically what this @ string does is it tells Android to look in the strings.xml page for the string with the name hello. So if we see over here, this string has name hello. And so when this text view is created, it will be loaded in with the value of the string hello. So basically what's going to show up in our text view is hello world, so since we are creating hello CSE76, not hello world, we can just change this text to whatever we want. And in this scenario, I'm just going to say CSE76. Yay. So the question was, at the beginning, you saw that there was this default string that was loaded in, hello world. And again, that's something that Eclipse creates automatically when we create a package, when we create an Android project. And that was just some default values that were loaded in. So if we want to change the text, we can just go into the strings.xml page and enter in our own values. So if I call this, for example, string name equals hello 2 instead, if I go over to my main.xml page and I want that string, I'll use hello 2 instead, which will pick the correct string. Now if you go through and save both files, and if this will tell me, oh, so remember to close the token. Like, you have to close HTML tags, you have to close XML tags as well. And the errors go away, yay. Now if you go back to helloworld.java and you run this again, and just wait for it to load up. If we go back to the text view, it's actually schemas.android.com, so if you were watching before, change that to schemas.android.com instead. And if we run this now, it should give us the desired result. The force close?
Yeah.
Oh, it's working.
Until you add the letter S and then come up with that.
Right, okay. So it might just have been trying to cache it. So now that we're done with helloworld.java, let's go on to creating more of a page which has a linear layout to it. And so what we're going to do is, along the same lines, we're going to create an activity, except in the main.xml file, we're going to specify a layout for how the page should look. So now if you go back and create a new Android project, let's call this example one, I guess. And similarly, choose Android 2.3.3. Have an application name of, we can call it linear layout. And similarly, the package name like before should be according to a convention, com.joseph1, Joseph, well, in my case, Joseph Ong, dot section 3, and call it something else, like section 3, example 1. Because before we had already called that other package dot section 3, and we don't want to duplicate that. So let's create an activity, and this time we'll call it linear layout. And press finish, like before. If you're following along, that's actually the PSET for next week. So if you just check the spec, that should be most of it, if not all of it. Okay, so now going on to example one. Let's open linearlayout.java and go back to resources and open up the main.xml page again. Now, as before, as we did with Hello World, which was using the XML-based layout, we're going to load in... What we're going to do is we're going to load in an XML layout for this page from r.layout.main, which is the main.xml page. So all we're going to be working with this time is the main.xml page. And if you will delete this text view over here, what we're going to be exploring is the linear layout sort of format using XML. And what this linear layout format basically does is it lets you add elements within it that appear in a linear format on the page. Which means, for example, we have over here, Android colon orientation is vertical, means that those elements will be put one after each other in a vertical format that goes linearly down. So once again, we want the layout width to fill the entire parent element, and we want the height to fill the entire screen on the Android application. So we set both Android layout width to fill parent and Android layout height to fill parent. And so you might have noticed before I was talking about this sort of tree structure of XML elements in this XML page. And how this is achieved here is by putting other XML elements within this linear layout so that those XML elements will appear in the linear format. So what we can do over here is just create a whole list of text views with whatever text you want. So if you recall, text views will have certain attributes such as... Can anyone name one of those attributes that we had before? Say that again? Layout width. Yes, exactly. So if we start out with Android... layout width, we can just set it to fill the parent. So in this scenario, we also have the Android layout height attribute. But we don't want it to fill out the entire parent element because we want these text views that we're going to be writing in to appear one after another. So what we do is we tell it to wrap the content instead. And a full listing of the sort of things that can go in these attribute values can be found online on the documentation. But in this scenario, what wrap content does is, as you create text views, it wraps them onto the next line if there's not enough space on the width. Now, there are other sorts of attributes we can use for the text view. And for example, if we wanted to change the text of this text view, as we did before with the strings.xml, what we can do is, again, string-hello. And what else we can do is we can also change the size of the font. And so let's just say like 16-point font. And then we can close the tag. So now, since we want a list of, we want sort of this text views to come one after another in this linear layout, what we're going to do is just keep adding more text views. So if you would just copy and paste this text view multiple times, let's copy it twice for now. What we've done is basically duplicated this text view. And just to see what this actually does, let's change the text to something we can identify with. Let's say Joseph, and for this one we can say Chris. And remember, as before, we usually like to separate our strings out, but just for the sake of this example, we're going to put the strings directly in just so we can make this program go along quicker. So now save this XML file and go back to linearlayout.java and run this in our environment, in the Android emulator. And if we open this up, as we see before, what the linear layout does is it wraps the text and it puts each of this text fields on its own line. So if we go back and we add in a few text views, there are also some other attributes that we can play around with, such as the text color, and how we do that is by specifying the attribute text color, as it might suggest. And what text color takes in is the hexadecimal RGB value. So in this case, what's someone's favorite color? Blue? Okay, so 0000FF should be blue, because it's RGB. So each of them stand for, each pair of digits stand for different colors. And whose favorite color was this? What's your name again? Jason? Okay, so this is Jason's favorite color. So let's change the text size to something huge, like 20 point. Right, so it's a hexadecimal RGB value. So the question was, what does the hex stand for? And basically it lets you say that this is a hexadecimal RGB value. It wouldn't understand it. Yeah, it has to be the hex. So now if we go back and just run this, if it will load up, we will see that Jason is in, yay, blue, which is Jason's favorite color. Okay. Let's create a project called student form. And oh, right, sorry. So now let's, again, instead of just doing this sort of simple layout with text fields that are going down, let's create something that might be of more use to us. So in this scenario, what we're going to do is create a text field that has two buttons below it. And so we just go to our student form file and open up the layout menu and the main XML. What we are going to do now is implement a relative layout. Okay. So a relative layout does not have an orientation. So the elements just come relatively placed, in position to each other. So if we just code along, we'll see what this means. So first, what we want to do is we want to create a text view. And let's just say, let's not do this first, sorry. Let's just change the text of this to name of student. We want it to fill out the entire width of the page. So what we do over here is fill parent, as you might recall before. And we want this content to wrap, so we put wrap content in. And we close off this text view. Now, in order to put in something that might be more interesting, like a text view, for example, a text field, what we can use is the edit text tag. And similarly, what we want to do is to have that just fill up the width and have it to wrap content. So if you just copy these two attributes from above, we will just put them in. And now below this text field, what we want on the right side of the page is two buttons that say accept and reject. So now we create a button element, and all a full list of these elements can be found in the documentation online. And we just set the text of this button to accept. And we set both its layout width and its layout height to wrap content. And now we have another button which, along those lines, is Android text reject with those same properties. Now what we're going to do instead is, now that we have this layout set up, we're going to make it so that when you push on the accept and reject button, something actually happens instead of just like nothing happening. So in order to do that, what we're going to go over to the source and open up the Java file that we had. So in this case, it would be studentform.java. Now, what we want to do is, now that we have these buttons, very much like how you do with jQuery, what we can do is attach click handlers to these buttons. So when you click on them, it executes a sort of function. And the syntax is somewhat similar, but since we don't have a reference to those elements, what we can do is get them by their IDs. So over here, what I'm going to do is say button accept is equal to find view by ID r.id.accept. So basically this means, so what the R file does is it has a full listing of the elements that we've created, and it also has their IDs. So when I do r.id.accept, it basically means return, that's a reference to the element which has ID accept. So when we do find view by ID, it grabs that view and it returns it to us. And basically, I'm putting that into this button accept over on this side. Now, if you notice, this also gives us that little light bulb, and that's because we didn't import button again. So if you just double-click, Eclipse will fix that for you. Similarly, we want to grab the button that was reject. So we find view by ID, r.id.reject. So now how we attach sort of click handlers to these is we call the setOnClickListener function. So button needs to be capitalized because that's the name of the class. But accept and reject over here are just sort of like variable names that we have to store those references in. Okay, there we go. So setOnClickListener. And what setOnClickListener takes in is a function, which we have not declared. And that function will basically specify what happens when we click on that button. So if we go down to setOnClickListener, so now we have these two buttons, which we call setOnClickListener too. But we haven't specified what functions they should run when those buttons are clicked on. So let's just define this function that we call, I guess, click function, that will get run when each of these buttons are fired. And so now what we had to do is we had to declare this function that will be run. So private click private onClick listener, because what we're doing here is we're making a listener that is of type onClick listener. So onClick listener is the class that we're using over here. And we'll just say click function equals new onClick listener. And now we have to specify the contents of this. The O should be capitalized. So basically what this onClick function does is it takes in the view that it was called from. So in this scenario, for example, if this was called from accept, then what goes into onClick is the accept. So the parameters that are taken in are the accept view, which in this case was a button. So now what we want to do is we want to get the context of the application, because a lot of the sort of constructors we're going to use take in the context of the application. So we can't use this anymore because we're not in that previous frame. That previous function frame. So we get the application context, so we can use this context in constructing objects. And now what we want to do is get a char sequence text, which is sort of like a string, I guess, if you put it. And we're going to run a switch statement with the ID of the view that we clicked on. So if it turns out that the ID is accept, what we want to set text to is accept was pushed. And how many of you have worked with switch statements before? Okay, so a switch statement is basically a condensed if else. So it switches with this ID, and whenever it matches the case, it runs the code that is right after it. And the break statement just means after you've run this, stop and get out of the switch statement. So if the ID is instead reject, we set this text to equal to be equal to reject was pushed. And once again, we break. So if we didn't have this break that's up here, what would happen is it would keep checking those other cases as well. And we don't want that to happen because once it's matched, we want it to get out of the loop because it's already assigned the correct text to what we want. And let's just, in case something goes wrong, we have a default to catch it that says, like, we didn't know what was pressed. Okay. So now what we're going to do with this text is we're going to call create what we call a toast. And a toast is basically a message that pops up on the screen, shows up for a short duration, and then goes away. So first we want to specify the duration of this toast, which is how long the toast will show up for. And we call this, we get. So the toast class has two constants in it, which are length long and length short. So if we want the toast to show up for this short period of time defined by the constant, we just let the duration equals toast.length_short. And now we construct a toast. And you see Eclipse nicely auto-completed that for us. And basically what this just means is create the toast in the context of the application, which was why we had to get application context earlier, which was up here. Have the toast show the text that we had from the switch statement and display it for the duration that we declared right above it. And then we call toast.show, which shows that toast. So the question was, what is the toast? And as explained before, a toast is basically just a short message that appears on the application and then quickly goes away after a set duration. So now to just go over what happens, if we go back to the top of the program, we got these two buttons by getting them by ID, and then we attached this click listener to those buttons, which said that whenever the button is clicked on, get the application context, so we can use this in creating the toast with the text that we got from the switch statement, which depended on whether the accept button or the reject button was pressed. And we set it for the duration that we declared in toast.length.short. So now if I clicked on the accept button, what will show up is accept was pushed. And if I click on the reject button, what will show up is reject was pushed. So we found that we had some errors in our code, and they were from picking the wrong method to run. So for example, over here where we had v.getID, that used to be v.id before, and that wasn't actually a method. It's v.getID. And now that we've had all of these things declared, we needed to import a lot of the classes that we were missing. For example, the android.view.view class, the android.view.view.onClickListener class, as well as the toast and the context classes. And if you run the program in the emulator, what you should find yourself at is a student form that when you press accept comes up with this toast at the bottom that says accept was pushed, and if you press reject says reject was pushed. So that's all the examples for today, and we'll see you next week. All right.